Our first hour focus on homelessness continues with a very different angle. A married pair of homeless advocates in Ashland are being forced out of their own home. Vanessa Houck and Jason Houck do not own the home they live in, and in Ashland's supercharged real estate market, the owner can make a lot of money selling the place, and that's the plan. The Houcks can't afford to buy the house, so they are now looking for a place to live for themselves. Welcome to The Exchange, Jason and Vanessa Houck.
Thank you very much.
So lots of things you've done for the community. How long have you guys lived here, and what kinds of things have you done for homeless people?
We've lived here for most of the past 20 years, and our work is really varied in social justice work, a broad range of things from working towards with Southern Oregon Jobs with Justice to directly homeless issues. We do a community meal once a week and on Fridays in Railroad Park. So we're actively out there with this population.
That's true. Is that an all-year Friday meal in Railroad Park?
Yeah, it's every Friday. Yeah, mm-hmm. We've been offering this a weekly meal for several months now, but have been organizing meals since last year.
Is this in addition to paying jobs, or is this what you guys do for a living? I mean, I'm just curious to know how you can afford to do this in the first place, to help other people as much as you do.
Yeah, to step back, we're just basically a working class family. You see me down at the print shop down on 8th Street. That's where I make most of my money. I also do advocacy work for Southern Oregon Jobs with Justice, which works here in the community. Working on issues of workers' rights to organize and safe working environments, living wages, but also finding more and more, for some time we were finding more and more of our members being squeezed out of the rental markets here in Southern Oregon, and more anecdotal stories of folks' rents being pushed up, property management companies taking over what were traditionally low-income housing facilities, folks that are living under any sort of a fixed income, or folks that are dependent on public service, finding that the available housing market was shrinking and shrinking, as the real estate market rose.
In fact, this helps clarify something that we heard from a caller just a few minutes ago who was calling from his pickup truck. He says he lives there, but he mentioned 1.8, which I assume is the vacancy rate, which is that's not a lot. I mean, 5% is considered a fairly tight rental market. Anything smaller than that, and 1.8% in the greater Medford-Ashland area is really tight.
It is.
A lot of competition for places to live.
And wages, of course, haven't gone up. So we have rentals that are closing. They're turning into more properties being sold. Wages aren't going up to meet that increased cost. So it's really a problem here.
Yeah, it's creating a real tough environment. And certainly as folks going forward, the standard rule of thumb is you should be earning at least three times your income should be three times more than your rental or your housing costs. That's just not happening.
Yeah, it's like got the 50% of your income and up in some places to pay for rental housing. So you're renting a house right now in the Railroad District.
We are. We've been really blessed for the last 6 years to be living in a house on 5th Street here in Ashland, a beautiful little two-bedroom house. I'll talk a little bit about it. It was built in 1902. It was built by Edward Bear. He was worked in the railroad industry. He built it for his wife Martha as a wedding present. It's one of two houses that were built in that time on that block. One was destroyed in a fire a couple of years ago, but our house, the Bear House, Edward and Martha Bear's house, still exists there. It's a beautiful little house.
It's a very modest, unpretentious house. Little white picket fence around it. The whole house is a little over 1,000 square feet, and the whole property is less than 4,000 square feet. So
this
is generally in
a row of houses built for railroad workers.
Right. Yeah. Very modest.
And one of the last piece of these sort of traditional property. It's a really lovely house. We've been really blessed to have a wonderful landlord who's for the years has been offering us. For less than what we would, he could have been charging us a lot more over the years. And certainly as the market rose, we've been really lucky to been able to live here in Ashland to have this property. And so we certainly have been happy.
So then when did the announcement come that you needed
what happened
to...
July 20th?
Yeah, so out of the blue on July 20th, we got a phone call saying that he wanted to sell the house. We didn't see that coming. It was completely out of the blue for us. We had planned some family vacations, family reunion times in August. We certainly weren't imagining we would be packing up and trying to find a place to live.
It was a real blow and certainly, something we weren't expected. You know, we do a lot of this sort of advocacy work helping, folks that deal with this. But, you know, for being on the other side of the advocacy table, it was really a blow. And I guess I wasn't expected for the emotional and crisis it kind of created in our world. And so
you've been aware of this kind of thing happening to people, but then it happened to you.
To us. Yeah. And so our first thought was, what would be the options of buying the house? With the market, unfortunately, the landlord's looking at, $360,000 price tag, which, you know,
for a 1,000 square foot house.
Right. Yes. And it's all based on, you know, what similar properties have sold in the neighborhood. And certainly it's, you know, he's not the villain here. It's a perfectly reasonable move to make when you have an opportunity like this. Our first thought was to look into buying it ourselves,
Is that out of reach?
Yeah, we quickly discovered that was just out of our reach.
Right.
That's a pipe dream.
Right. That much debt is attached to this property, it really will be out of the realm of anything affordable. We've looked at it many different ways, worked with, you know, folks that are a lot smarter with money than we are, and honestly it just will, you know, that is just something that we have to accept.
We're talking to Jason and Vanessa Houck. They're advocates for the homeless in Ashland, doing a lot of services for homeless people in the city, and yet now, as you heard, now run the risk of getting booted out of their own home. Well, it's going to happen, it sounds like. The question is where you land from here. So we'll take up that in a moment. You can join us on The Exchange to talk about their issue specifically or homelessness more generally. 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. I think Boyd in Wolf Creek emailed while we had the previous segment on about homelessness in Fresno, but he says, stories of police missteps and misguided public policy avoid the hard questions of what we can do right to make progress. The bad choices of homeless folks imperil themselves and the communities they enter. Focus on solutions. Where do you see homelessness generally resting? Is it society? Is it the choices of the people who end up homeless? Some combination thereof?
Well, there's a little bit of combination, but we do see a lot of people who just, by really no fault of their own, you know, an eviction notice comes like this, or, you know, they get sick and they get behind on their rent and they can't catch up. We have a whole hidden segment of homeless people here in this valley who live in their cars, who are elderly people, who are mothers with children, and we don't see them. They're invisible. They try very hard to be invisible.
Oh, so they're not the visible homeless. They're just dealing with it.
One of the things that's been really amazing at our community meals on Fridays is when we get to connect with folks in the homeless. We get people that attend our meal and, you know, they'll come and help out. We assume that they're a volunteer that came in to help out. And then during our talking circles afterwards, we'll find out they'll admit that, yeah, they are homeless. They've been homeless for years. And they've been, struggling, you know, to find safe places to be. That's the one thing that I think we hear more and more again, is just having a place to be. Because when you're homeless, that's the one thing you have is too much time on your hands. And finding a safe place to be, you have a safe place during the day, safe place to sleep at night, a place to get away from the heat. It's that community that you know, we don't really think about. We think about the traveler with the backpack and the dog, the very visible, or the person with a shopping cart and obvious mental illness. But there is a great hidden homeless population, and both of these communities of homelessness are really, you know, striving or fighting for a smaller and smaller amount of resources. So it's really been a lot of pressure on folks that want to just do advocacy, want to try to find homes for families that want to do it because the need is so great.
Which you've done a lot of. I mean, you've sent a lot of people off in search of affordable housing through the various systems that are available. So what happened when you began to look down those avenues for yourselves?
So all of the things that we told other people to do, you know, you contact Access, you contact the other social service organizations. We discovered the help isn't really there. The help is very limited. Access, for example, can give you a list of affordable housing, you know, apartments and things that you can get into, but the waiting lists are years long. So if you've just gotten a notice to move, you're going to be homeless for a long time before you can get on that, you know, your name comes up on that list.
Yeah. We're very fortunate to have 60 days to move. Most folks legally only have 30 days, and it's just impossible to find that.
So you have until the third week of September. Yeah. So given up on the Bear House, B-A-E-R, the house you've been living in, what does it appear to be the next option at this point?
Well, you know, the usual advice is, well, if you can't live in Ashland, you move to Talent, or you move to Medford, you move out to Central Point. And as we look out, we find that the same pressure that's impacting the Ashland rentals is impacting, you know, Medford and Central Point. So even in these other communities, you'll find that the rental costs are really high. And also the cost to get in, you find that just to apply for one of these rentals, it costs $40 per adult. So, you know, for Vanessa and I, it's $80 to apply, just to apply for the rental. Looking back in now.
Yeah. For example, if I was looking for a place in Talent and I went on Craigslist this morning, there are 6 places in Talent that are for rent on Craigslist. Craigslist is a huge resource for rentals. Mm-hmm. That's where most people list them. So they're going faster than people can list them. And also the prices now, a regular price in Talent, $1,600 a month to $2,200 a month for just a modest place.
Mm-hmm. 1600 to 22, are we talking even for apartments or is this for homes?
The 1600 was like apartments and townhouses and homes.
Right. A lot of shared
fits and shared spaces.
Shared spaces too available.
Yeah. You've done some work certainly in conjunction with people from the city of Ashland. Are there any options there that have presented themselves or people who have connections to other people? It's kind of weird because you guys should be as well connected as anybody in the homeless community.
You know, we have been working closely with our mayor, our city council, our parks department, our police chief, trying to find all sorts of options. One thing we've been working on is trying to find space for car camping, trying to find a source of revenue for our Ashland Affordable Trust Fund. And there's a lot of, and then, you know, working on different projects to find, you know, available housing, workforce housing. But unfortunately, we've been talking about it a lot, and there's just not a lot of direct action. You know, one thing we've been, a campaign, you know, and Vanessa, you might want to talk about is trying to petition our governor to declare this a housing, you know, the housing crisis, a real crisis, you know,
housing emergency,
state of
emergency, and dedicate some resources. So
yeah, there was talk about that over the last year or so, but nothing came of that.
Right.
And the big housing bill that should have passed the legislature didn't quite get off the ground either.
Right.
So I noticed you guys have a GoFundMe campaign active.
Wow.
To do what?
We do. We want to purchase a mobile home. There's a mobile home that we found that is affordable. And if we could purchase it, then that would give us some stability here. We would be secure for long term.
And that would keep you in Ashland?
Yeah.
Yes.
It's our ultimate goal. You know, we've got three daughters that our oldest daughter graduated from Ashland High School a few years back. She was and then we've got a daughter now who's in, she's 16. She'll be starting as a junior.
So you have two daughters at home still, right?
Yeah, yes. And then our youngest, Grace, she's 10, and she'll be starting fifth grade. And so our number one goal is to keep their situation stable. And that's been our biggest juggle, is to make sure that as we go through this transition, that their lives aren't as impacted by this. You know, staying in Ashland is our number one goal, being able to, you know, that's why we're here. You know, we've got one of the greatest school districts in Oregon. We've got a great community that, you know, we've just fallen in love with. And I think we want to to make it ours. And so we're really working to stay here.
So in the process of being concerned about your own housing situation, you're still trying to deliver services to
That's
homeless
right.
people. So has there been an impact on that from what you're dealing with for yourselves?
It's really got more sense of an urgency and trying to get to some of the things we've been working on. You know, like I mentioned, the car camping, working on providing safe space during the winter times. We just had an event over at the university in which we were able to open up some space to keep people cool during those hot times during the weekend.
On Saturday,
right. But, we got a real sense of urgency to try to get some of these things accomplished because, you know, we don't know if we'll be here, you know, in a year to keep moving them forward.
I can't imagine there's any particular chuckles about this, but there's a strong sense of irony about the fact that you've done so much work to help people who are without homes
right.
and yet are now in this situation yourself where you're having to leave your own.
But I hope it really shows that sometimes things happen to people that they just don't see coming, and that's really how people become homeless a lot of times. You know, they don't see it coming. We were 60 days away, and we didn't know.
Right. Yeah, go ahead.
What should the world at large take then from both the numbers of homeless people? I mean, we just spent half an hour talking to a guy from Fresno who talked about people getting their tents bulldozed and their possessions taken away. What should people take from not only the general situation of homelessness and the large numbers of people who are homeless, but then in microcosm, your story as well?
Yeah. Well, we should take from that we should all take better care of each other, that our values should be more compassionate, and we should look out for each other better.
Right. And certainly, I think we need to start thinking creatively in how we deal with our homelessness, how we deal with our workforce housing. These are critical elements of our community, and we need to ensure that everyone's taken care of, certainly our most vulnerable. And since, you know, Ashland is limited in our ability to grow up, our ability to grow outward, we really then need to look inward. You know, look at our community resources. How can we work with the university, work with our parks, with our schools, and best use our community resources to everyone's advantage?
Jason and Vanessa Houck are advocates for the homeless in Ashland and are looking for a place to live for themselves because they have to be out of their place by about the middle of September. I want to thank you both for joining us today on the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you.
Best of luck to you all.
Thank you.